This is The Record. I'm Steve Scherer, the Week in Review Extra. Eli Sanders is Associate Editor at The Stranger. Knute Berger is the Mossback at Crosscut.com, also author of a number of books, including Pugetopolis. And Joni Balter is with The Seattle Times. I wanted to ask you guys about something that wasn't necessarily in the news but struck me as interesting. New York Times had this very interesting article last Sunday. The headline in the Sunday review was, "Is it okay to murder bicyclists?" And the story was about how penalties in many states, not our state, but in many states, as the writer said, defied belief, like a teenager in 2011 who drove into a 49-year-old cyclist from behind on the road just outside Seattle, running him over and killing him. And the police issued a $42 ticket for unsafe lane change because the kid hadn't been drunk and, as they saw it, hadn't been driving recklessly. And there is still this question about what is happening on the roads. And how do you feel about how we bicyclists and cars are interacting?
Poorly. But this is a battle about space. And as more people ride bicycles and more people drive cars, that collision between the two just keeps increasing. And we haven't really developed the etiquette or the rules or the laws to make it work any better. And there's this universal truth that if you're riding a bike, the car seems scary. If you're driving a car, the bike seems scary. It always is that sort of different frame of reference.
Scary in a different way, though.
Yes.
Scary because you don't want to injure them,
yes,
theoretically.
Of course.
Eli, you and I are bike riders. And one of the things in this article, one of the things I've been thinking about, well, two things. One is Mike McGinn in the city of Seattle have decided one solution is to build separate lanes so that bikes are separated from traffic. The other idea is maybe cars have to see bicyclists as actually sharing the lane, which means slowing down, which people aren't going to like. But the complaint about bicyclists is they need to obey traffic laws. And we're in this weird space as bicyclists because we should be obeying the traffic laws, I would argue, but it can be tough because we're slower.
Well, I actually don't think it's that hard for bikes to obey traffic laws. I think it's easy for them to frustrate cars that want to move faster than bikes. But I think that, yes, an easy solution to the problem is to segregate the two uses, to give cyclists separate cycle tracks, for example, at like the one that's been installed on Broadway, like the one that Amazon is going to pay for downtown, where they can move along and be out of the way of cars. That means taking out a lane for cars sometimes or taking out some parking space, but it ends up being better for all concerned. On my way here, I move through a bunch of different biking zones where I'm riding on an arterial with other cars, where I'm riding down a street lined with sharrows, and so the cars maybe are a little more aware, but I'm still basically in an arterial with cars, where I'm riding on a segregated lane, and where I'm riding through residential streets that bikes have been directed onto so as not to be in there with cars. And the better experience is always when the city has made an effort to segregate the two uses. There are enough people riding in the city. We keep hearing about the numbers increasing. There are enough people cycling in the city now that the city should, for everyone concerned, create a good, efficient, fast, separate experience for cyclists.
And there's this notion that because Mike McGinn was the bicycling mayor, that all of that will come to an end. I'm not sure that's true, because while Ed Murray is not known for his bicycling, he does live in the very dense urban part of the city. He's got an urbanist's view of things. And so things may not pick up, but they may roll along.
And I just want to say, just to be clear, that in the case of the Kirkland driver, this was just a few days ago, though the police gave him a ticket for negligent driving, second degree, $10,000 ticket, won't face any criminal charges. And part of the question is, how do we view the interaction? When is a crime committed? Because we do that with pedestrians and cars. We don't yet always do it with bicycles, even though, again, our laws have changed.
I think one of the sad things in terms of public attitude is and there are a few people who seem to believe that the roads belong only to cars, and anything that happens to a cyclist is their fault because they're putting themselves in such a risky situation. And I think Eli's completely right. I mean, what you need is you need to have streets that work for everybody. You need to have dedicated bike infrastructure. We had that before, again, at the turn of the century. We had 25 miles of dedicated bike-only paths. Wagons were banned from the paths. Certainly cars were banned from the paths. You know, it'd be really wonderful if we still had that infrastructure today. The other thing is that the worst combination you can get is entitled drivers and righteous cyclists. I'd like to send everybody to civility school and reinforce the fact that the bikes have a right to be there. Cars need to be careful.
And we should all obey the same laws.
And we should obey the laws, whatever they are. I don't even mind if there are some differences in those laws, but people need to understand what they are. And I think this law that was passed a few years ago that protects pedestrians and cyclists a little more is a good one.
State Senator Adam Klein's vulnerable user law.
But you're right, Steve, that the etiquette and the laws have to catch up, much like they are with car-on-car collision. Because add another component to this, texting, distracted driving, you know, so that when there are accidents, we really should, as time evolves, as time goes on, figure out who really was at fault when it's between a bike and a car or and a pedestrian as well.
All right. I'm going to change gears. That's the Week in Review Extra. Also join us Friday mornings at 10 o'clock. For the Week in Review, Joni Balter, Knut Berger, Eli Sanders. Thank you all. It's The Record. I'm Steve Scherr.